Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, and the heaven departed, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. For the great day of wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea.
Good evening and welcome to Politics and Ecology. I'm Mike Carr.
And I'm Yasmin Karim. Tonight we have a special ghoulish Halloween edition. Shall we fight our destiny? The prophecies are unmistakable. Jesus, Buddha, Nostradamus have all envisioned the destruction of our biological mother, the planet Earth.
Or are we indeed headed for our science fiction future, the super-controlled environment, able to sustain our human biology without any natural elements? Haley May spoke to Bob Dobbs of the Church of the Subgenius regarding his theories on the matter.
The prophecy business is not always comfortable. If you're not being stoned in the marketplace, you're likely to get hustled out in a straitjacket. I have with me today Bob of Bob Dobbs fame, Bob of the Church of the Subgenius fame, and I'd like to take a look at the Church of the Subgenius and yourself, Bob, as an oracle, as the master of prophecy. You've been quoted as saying that the old ecology is the natural ecology, that concerned with nature, biology. But you have a new ecology, the media ecology, and that's concerned with the electric environment.
All the environments, all the technological environments, the man-made artifacts.
And
versus natural biological reality.
That's right. So I just wanted to ask you if that's the major concern, if the natural biological environment is not the concern, are we looking at an evolutionary process now, that we are now going to evolve beyond the physical state, the one concerned with biology, and this is actually progress, that we are going to reach the discarnate state, the one in which we are held within the electric environment?
This is the source of the confusion. We're not going to change our biological form, not in the immediate, say, 500 years. So I deal with the present biological form we have interplaying, interpenetrated by and with the man-made environments stemming from speech, and before that perhaps ESP and gestural communication, and then from speech through agricultural tools, and then manuscript culture tools, Roman Empire kind of tools, and then into the Renaissance and the industrial tools, and now the second industrial revolution, the electric revolution, which has been going on for, say, 150 years. So those are environments made by man that alter his view and change his relationship to the first biological world.
Do you think that maybe our concern for the natural world, the biological world, has become has increased because of our inundation with the electrical environment? This biological,
yeah,
electrical balance is the electrical is now taking over, and we're trying to scramble back to some sort of neo-paganist lifestyles, that kind of a sensibility.
Yeah, you've got, you just gave good inventory of the effects of the electric environment as cause. So the electric age changes Western man's concept of nature and percept of nature, and in the process evokes a sympathy or a resonance with pre-alphabetic concepts of nature. So you can see how the Bible could predicted, the prophets of the Bible, speaking of prophecy, predicted this implosion of mankind's history into the Antichrist, right?
Right.
And the revelations. No, I think what I'm talking about updates the images and content of the book of Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
In talking about it, people wouldn't be able to identify with what it means so easily. Therefore, the dialogue about it would make people understand their environment. And the dialogue and understanding would be an ecological effect.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than implementing the pollution probe kind of strategy, or Bob Ray's new image, which is an environmentalist image, you have no leverage point to move and implement environmentalism today in the old sense of environmentalism. You know what I mean?
Because it doesn't have an international meaning. It doesn't have a global meaning.
Oh, it has a meaning and sympathy and nostalgia, but where are we going to go for the control point?
Right.
National governments don't have any control. International government, the United Nations, is working out its identity crisis with Saddam Hussein right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be a colossal failure. And where is the point, other than off the planet, the solar government level, of managing the whole planet?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get off the planet.
Right. The objective perspective.
Yeah, yeah. But only a few people can operate in what I call the Secret Council of Ten, the solar government thing. So my mandate is to sort of whistleblow on the solar government and say we can all realize we're part of the solar government, because we are all discarnate and off the planet and off the solar system. So that's why the oligarchs, the bankers, are going to promote environmentalism as we move into the 90s, because the only operation they can work from is the planet,
right.
Earth. They can take up the old nature, which is visible and knowable, rather than the discarnate solar universal situation we live in, and they can manage, like Prince Charles is advocating, an ecological approach to the planet. Because that's kind of like a rearview mirror nostalgic tribe,
sure.
Hijacking the planet.
It's comfortable and it's soft,
knowable.
And it's warm,
yeah.
And they can manage that.
Yeah.
But they're not making that next.
They're not talking media ecology.
No.
And that, I think that the environmentalists know this. No, they don't know that. They know the inadequacy of their metaphor, and they've been wrestling with that, and trying to develop new strategies. Well, work with the corporations, or reject the corporations, you know, because they're still thinking of the divine animal of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now the oligarchs are going to hijack that. They're now making deals over international debts with Brazil and various third world countries, that they swap some of their unused territory in exchange for canceling the debt. So you see the international oligarchy will buy up these huge tracts of wilderness and keep it pristine, and therefore turn the planet into a park that they manage.
Right.
Meanwhile, they send us out to space,
yeah.
To fight new wars.
That's right. Beautiful. Okay, electric addiction.
Which is the condition of the electric autonomous super angel discarnate individual.
That's what we function on.
Yeah, electric addiction, software addiction.
And this electric addiction is actually fueling a lot of the what we might consider environmentally destructive situations that are happening globally now.
Then you can see why a country like Brazil, which is a puny organism in relation to all these other massive environments, would blindly, to meet its need for international cash flow debt requirements, would consume, or part of its population, like zombies, would consume the Amazonian forest. Now, what is the electric environment and how it's used? For most of us, it's a means of entertainment and software consumption in all forms. So the users of the electric theater, the electric environment, are ultimately the guilty causes of the old nature, first biological situation destruction that we call the destroyed ecology, mm-hmm. Right? So the users of the electric media celebrate and purchase many movies, records, television shows about the ecological movement, all right? Many of the popular songs are complaining about the destruction of the planet, and yet the users of that content are the cause of the destruction of the old ecology.
Mm-hmm.
And so ecology, the old natural ecology, is now becoming a global obsession and a global concern by all cultures. But that's, again, the symptom of history. The syndrome of history is that the general populations never knew their own best interests. We're now getting monomaniacal about making it the one content in all the global media. But again, we're missing the point. We're talking about the old nature, and that's ecology. We need to update our image of what the ecology involves, which mm-hmm. is media ecology or archetypal technological ecology. See, the future is the past. So all futures exist now. All
mm-hmm.
potential situations we've already realized in some degree. All revolutions, all human desires and terrors have already happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just take sex. That was wiped out by the AIDS crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the most basic instinct in humans, one of the most basic things, was destroyed. That's apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's hard to be specialized or monomaniacal in one medium, the medium of speech, when you have all these other post-verbal and non-verbal apparatus you can live in until everybody else gets the joke or gets the mandate.
That's it. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
So get the joke, would you?
That was Haley May talking with Bob Dobbs from the Church of the Subgenius.
Permanent basis. The situation threatened to set off an Islamic holy war against the United States. They claim the Western devils would control access to the Islamic holy cities, such as Mecca. The Saudis are also one of the only two countries who have been allowed to buy special U.S. Treasury bonds payable in gold instead of paper. The other one is Japan. Proof is circulating that Bush was involved in two sabotaged airplane crashes to murder anti-Bush CIA officials. Canada, 1985, and 1988, 6 weeks after Bush was elected, Pan Am Flight 103. The Saudis are threatening Bush with impeachment and financial ruin during his administration. Playing again, the CIA and the bankruptcy courts, 731-1505.
You are now listening to CKLN. This is Jim, Eye Brain Eater. May you eat brains and live.
Your wife, pardon me. Doesn't your wife let you fool around? Frank?
I won't discuss that on you.
Kevin's wife lets him fool around.
No, wait. We talked about this. She suggested it this afternoon, and I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure.
Why the hell can't I get a relationship like this? I could Joseph.
You know what she wants him to say, though.
I mean, Frank's punk son is running around getting every damn girl in show business. I could be doing the same thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay. I guess you could.
No, but Kevin's wife wants him to say, no, honey.
No.
Your wife wants you to say no. She's testing you.
I don't know.
This is the test.
This is. And you're going to fall in the little crack. I know it.
Oh, yes. He'll fall in a little crack.
I hope so.
I'm telling you. I tell you, go to 7-Eleven, girls. Kevin Cronin could be your wild rock prize. Frank, of course, doesn't fool around behind his wife's back.
At least he doesn't talk about it.
No, he doesn't talk. He's a very low-key kind of guy. Trip is worth $10,000. Uh-huh. To Frank, that's no big deal. Kevin, they've got millions.
Yeah.
But the trip is worth $10,000. Other prizes include a 25-set album collection, concert tickets to local New York concerts, or a single album or cassette from Sam Goody.
Wouldn't you trade it all for a couple of really good dirty magazines?
Yes, everyone who buys, especially Mark Biggulp, wins. So, Frank, don't leave yet. Wait until the show's over, then you get over to 7-Eleven.
Can't wait.
We'll be back right after these words from the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, across from the famous Chinese theater where Frank Zappa later will be getting his star on Hollywood Boulevard. Oh. It's going to be a beautiful ceremony. He's gone totally Hollywood. We'll be back right after this.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to R&S Strauss.
Oh, sure.
Can I help you?
Yeah, it turned out it was the left one I needed.
And since each R&S Strauss store carries thousands of parts...
Yeah, darn, that was just a cute edit there.
See, the right part at last.
Of course.
That leaves only one problem.
Chat over top of the stupid commercial.
He's driving the wrong car.
Buy 2 gallons of advanced formula Prestone antifreeze and pay just $3.88 each after Prestone rebate through Saturday at R&S Strauss.
And, of course, you can't
when
get
you
that
out,
here.
You want a place with personality, and Lorango's got it. It's a restaurant where you'll become a regular. They've got a long mahogany bar up front, dim lights, musical background, wood cafe tables, brick walls, wood-burning fireplaces, and complimentary tortilla chips and salsa to make your dining a real pleasure.
That's
Lorango,
an idea.
The home with a big margarita, is addicting. Mexican dining at its best. After a generous appetizer like crispy flautas stuffed with shredded beef, deliciously fresh.
Well, you can give me a call here at 595-1655 so I can talk to you and get your request down. We're coming up with King Missile after the Zappa interview here with Howard Stern. The song is Jesus Was Way Cool. That's coming up right after the Zappa interview here.
Dinners, cocktails, and Sunday brunch. 323 3rd Avenue at 24th Street. And to book a private party, you can call Lorango at 212-679-1122.
We're back on the air. It's Howard Stern, Robin Quivers, with, of course, the very beautiful and lovely Frank Zappa.
Beautiful and lovely.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know who he was talking about. Who's his name now?
Let's just ask what's in this glass. Of his
hot water and lemon.
Now, why am I looking at Frank Zappa and thinking of Dee Snider?
No, no.
I have no idea.
Maybe you have the same noses. I'm looking at a profile.
No, you see, Frank's got a nice nose. It's a straight nose.
You don't think Dee's nose?
If I had a nose like that, I'd be happy. My nose all crooked and bent.
Really?
Yeah, I'd love to have your nose. I'm thinking of getting a nose job.
Well, why don't you save up and go to Michael's doctor?
Oh, please. Who is that guy?
Well, that's pretty dangerous. I mean, Michael's doctor should be sued for malpractice, I think.
Really?
I think he's done a hell of a job on the guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not even a black guy anymore. He may not even be a guy anymore.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. We're not sure. But even Kevin Cronin has a nice nose, even though we do sort of look like it. You've got a nice, like a straight nose. My nose is all crooked and bent.
No,
it's not that bad.
No, it looks okay to me.
It's a gnarly.
You're on a wart over there on the side, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's getting removed. I got an appointment. We got this wart, this one, and this one.
Yeah.
It's a pretty
Actually,
attractive.
That was for when he was cast in The Wizard of Oz. Uh-huh. Yeah. Bad witch.
Wow. Hey, Frank, ixnay on the wart way, okay?
You have to bring that up.
Hey, you're growing a wart on the side of your nose.
No, kiss
sorry.
That could be removed, you know, man.
Well, you know, the president gets his off.
I could have the remains sent to your house, okay? So just relax. Hey, you've grown a wart there on your nose, aren't you? I don't know. My whole family, they have warts all over the place.
Really? But,
yeah, I got to go get them removed. I've just been... When you get warts removed on your face...
Do they grow back?
No, there's a scab for like 2 weeks. And it looks pretty disgusting.
That's cute.
Yeah, it looks like you're dying of some disease, so I've been avoiding that whole... That whole thing.
Well, go on those big red round plastic things like they wear at, you know.
A nose guide.
Yeah, it's pretty hard with a face like this, I'm telling you.
Yeah?
But,
you ain't doing too bad. I saw how many people turned out in the park when you were having your little rally there. I thought that was really good.
You know, it kills me how, it's sort of ironic. I never got women a whole lot, my entire life.
Yeah?
And then I got, you know, sort of famous, if you want to call this famous.
Yeah.
Not like your guy's kind of fame, you know. Just
a little piece of fame.
Yeah, I'm just a radio loser, you know what I mean? But to some regular people, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're a communicator.
Don't make it more than it is, Frank.
but he is bringing a message to the East Coast that people really need to hear.
What is that?
It's unfortunate that the message is too advanced for the West Coast.
That's the problem.
But
the warts on my nose, does that look like the Siamese twins being separated or something?
No, but if you hadn't turned more this way, I wouldn't have even seen it.
Really?
You know,
right,
so look, just go like that.
But anyway, here it's ironic that I waited my whole life for women.
Yeah.
And then I got married thinking I'd never be anything because I really have no noticeable skills. You know, you guys probably in the back of your mind said, okay, I know I've got talent. It's just a matter of, I never believed in myself and I never believed I'd have talent. Now that I have achieved some success, although I love my wife and kids, don't get me wrong, it just would be nice to take advantage once in a while of my position where women are constantly throwing themselves at me.
Throwing themselves
yeah.
at you?
Yeah, ask Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Do lying.
They really do. No, they do.
Yeah. Warts and all?
Oh,
yeah.
They don't care anymore.
You bastard. You really are, man.
They can see past that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have a philosophical decision to make, that's all.
And Frank, what about you? You want to play a song on the guitar? Come on, man. Why don't you ever do that kind of thing? What, are you above that?
No, I'm just not good enough anymore. You know, I haven't played it since December 23rd, 1984. I'm trying to learn how to play the guitar again.
Are you serious?
It's true.
Dweezil's playing a very good guitar.
He is,
sure
definitely is.
Yeah.
He is. He's playing great. Yeah, he's playing great.
He's for real.
Yeah, and not only that, he's good looking. He's getting laid every 10 minutes. And on top of that, he's talented.
What did you do at the moment you conceived him?
Yeah,
you know,
what did you do?
You gotta tell people what you did.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, your son annoys the hell out of me.
You know, other people would like to try this. You know how they're trying to choose the sex?
Well, yeah. You mean the right position?
Yeah. He's a
cocky 16-year-old bastard is what he is. I can't stand him. I mean, Molly Ringwald, he's
that. He's bright and personable.
Does he bring, like, Molly over to the house and you go,
Well, you know, Molly has been over to the house, but I don't go,
Yeah, right. What are you? You're a man. Of course you could do. You probably look her over.
She's not my type.
Really? She's not?
No.
What about that Kate Wagner? Tell me you wouldn't want to
look
that.
Actually,
really?
I think Dweezil's taste in women is interesting but unique.
I think he's right on track.
Really?
Yeah, I would definitely.
He could bring him home to Howard's house.
If you could bring him over to my house. I hope my son someday brings home some women to me. I'm working on having a son, so bring home some women to me. I would really enjoy that. That would be really nice. Son, do you think I could sort of get in on your action once in a while?
Like double date with the same girl?
Yeah, could I sort of like jump into this whole scene? Something?
On the radio?
Yeah, on the radio. And what about Ahmed? I saw him in Us Magazine dating somebody.
Look, the room where I'm working right now is upstairs. It's on the same floor with Ahmed's room.
Yeah.
Ahmed went to the movies last night. I don't know who he went out with.
Yeah.
And over a three-hour period, the phone in his room with his little answering machine went off 50 times.
Really?
And, you know, this...
Is he in school still, Ahmed?
Yeah.
Are you making him stay in school until... Because I'm sure he probably wants to bail out about now.
He'll be able to get out when he's 15. That's the legal... If you take the test when you're 15 in California...
You want your kids to leave school? You probably encourage him to.
I want him to leave school.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the neatest dad.
I know, man. I wish
nothing to rebel against.
Could you adopt me, man? My father doesn't do any cool crap. He made me go to college, Boston University, man, okay?
If there was another school after that, you'd have...
My dad made me drive around in a Dodge Polara. That's the car he bought me, okay? I'm sure you would do that to your kids.
No, let me say this.
Ahmed's phone was ringing 50 times.
50 times.
That was Robin just calling in. Hello, Ahmed. I know your dad, and I'd like to see you tomorrow night while I'm here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You're very happening.
He wasn't home.
He wasn't home, though. No, seriously, my father would do stuff like make me drive a Dodge Polara in college. And the only person I was getting was my wife. She was impressed with a Dodge Polara, but you probably buy your kids BMWs and stuff.
Well... Not exactly.
Really?
Dweezil bought his own.
No, Dweezil's got money. Does Ahmed play guitar and all that?
No, he's a little interested in drums.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you advise him on safe sex?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You advise condoms? So you disagree with the Pope? In other words,
I disagree with the Pope on a lot of stuff.
You're Catholic, right, Frank?
No, I was at one time. I escaped when I was 18.
You were born Catholic.
Well, how do you get out?
See, Frank, I don't understand.
You never really get out.
Kevin, you're Catholic?
No,
yeah,
no,
I was too.
You can get out.
It's tough, though.
No, but wait a second. I thought
the Pope was gonna come over here and, like, lighten up and kind of, you know, with all that, everything, you know.
Now, why should the Pope lighten up? Seriously, I resent American Catholics. I mean, what the hell is going on here? You know, I hate to harp on this, but I feel bad for the poor damn Pope. He comes in here. All he wants to do is wear his robe. Did you use new robes?
No.
He's got a fringe on the bottom of his robe.
He does look. Dale Evans, he's a snappy dress.
Like a twist skirt, sort of?
It's sort of like a bolero outfit. It's beautiful.
Here it is.
But here's a picture. Robin has it. Take a look at this.
All right, let's see.
I feel bad for the Pope, in a way. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You think he's upset that he has to wear a beanie like Jews?
That's why he's so strict.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You could be sure of that.
But that's pretty snappy.
Is that nice?
Yeah.
Frank, I'd like to see you wearing that on your next tour. I don't know which
that's
one.
That's real nice.
Is that nice?
I do like it.
But wait a second. Catholics don't want to eat fish on Fridays.
That's right.
No, that's outrageous.
Some of them do, because they like fish.
Jesus says eat fish on Friday. Well, why can't Catholics eat fish on Friday? Why should they have to change things in there? Why should they make religion easy for themselves? Religion is supposed to be difficult.
And morbid.
No, well, really. I mean, the Pope says, look, no abortion. It's in the religion. Everybody wants to change it. Listen to this. I don't know if you heard this. Nuns now want to get married.
Yeah. All right.
What kind of religion is that?
They don't have a chance. There's no.
No, I mean...
I've never met a nun that I've ever
that
had.
You wanted to marry.
Nobody's forcing.
Think about marriage.
Nobody is forcing anybody to be a nun. Nobody goes out and says you have to be a nun. These people chose to be a nun.
No, you've never been raised in a Catholic family.
Oh, please, it's a piece of cake. It's a big deal. You can't
wear a piece of fish, is what it is.
No, they dedicate one child to the priesthood and one child to the nunnery.
Yes, exactly. Well, I don't know, man. I think you guys are way out of line, and you're all going to burn in hell with Satan. Okay, and that's the end of that.
Not a bad idea.
Hey, what's going on with Rock Against... not Rock Against... what is it? What's her name? That jerk?
Tipper?
Tipper.
Ah.
The Tip Lady.
Well, the last time I debated Tipper was on the Nightline show about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she's changing her thrust. It is now all about videos.
Rock video.
Yeah. Ah. The video, home video.
I think she didn't try to hone in on radio yet, did she?
Not yet. She has mentioned
radio.
Something about radio.
So she's given up on sticking records and stuff, or what?
No, they haven't given up on it, but what they've done is they've changed their tactic. They want now to have all of the lyrics included, and they're giving up on the rating because the rating didn't work.
I see.
But the fact is there's no need for any of it, and...
Come on, those stickers are great.
They're really good, yeah.
I like them.
You know just what to go pick out.
Yeah, right.
You
buy this. I like the stickers. I have children now, Frank. I'm not like you. I don't want them listening to those disgusting lyrics. No, I need protection, you know.
Well, then what you should do is get Tipper's book.
Just because you let your kids drop out of school at 15, you know, I've got to be a responsible parent. Someone has to be.
Yeah. But well, I wonder whether or not it really is responsible to inflict the American education system on any kid for longer than 15 years.
Exactly. Well, God, would I have died for a father like this? Man. I mean, and genetically, he's producing beautiful children.
He's got a 13-year-old. He doesn't know when he comes in. Yeah. He doesn't know who he's going out with.
Hey, what about Moon Unit, though? You don't let her mess around, though. There is a double standard, I hope.
Oh, hush. Well, she is just about to turn 20.
Can I say this? She's very cute.
Yeah.
And I love the video where she is dancing around. You know, talking, she is dancing around, man. I go wild for her.
Is that disgusting? This man is talking about his daughter.
Yeah, Frank doesn't care. He's liberal. Frank likes that. He likes
there's a certain line, though, Howard.
Everybody else got
Let me tell you something,
Howard.
Man. If I wasn't married, I would ask Moon out on a date. And you wouldn't have any problem with
that. I wouldn't have any problem with it because it's her decision.
Yeah, you'd probably kill me. I'm going to cut off your dick. When her phone rings, it's me. I just want you to know that.
If it's not a conspiracy or, you know, drugs, money being laundered through Live Aid, Frank does not care.
Right. Doesn't anything upset you, Frank?
Well, a lot of things upset me.
Do you ever put down your foot with the kids, or is it just totally laissez-faire? Not that I think this is bad parenting.
I'm trying to figure out where the line is so the
Frank
kids
has
know
raised,
where to step over.
Frank has raised decent kids.
He certainly has.
A lot better than I could ever hope to raise.
Well, which first thing you have to do if you want to raise nice kids is talk to them like they were people instead of talking to them like they were property.
Wait a second. You're out of line. I'm not doing that. My kids are property.
Talk to them like kids.
Really? I talk to them like kids. I'm sorry.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I'm not going to talk to them like they're people. Forget it.
Oh, yeah. That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah, you're a little out of line here, Mr. Zappa. I swear to God.
Okay. Well, I'll spank myself.
Go ahead. All right. Listen, let's take a break.
Go ahead. Another one of those commercials for that place that won't have dirty magazines in it?
No, as a matter of fact, this is for, you're going to like this.
Oh.
Yeah, this is something Frank Zappa would endorse.
All right, what is this?
I found a product for you. Even Kevin would endorse this. I'm telling you. Now listen to this. Hold on.
Elliot's amazing apple juice.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you why you would...
I see sponsorship.
I'm going to tell you why you would endorse this.
Okay, let's hear this one.
This is a totally natural. I've had this juice, and I recommend this. Totally natural and fresh. You're into natural and fresh and health food,
yeah,
right?
I am, yeah. I am.
Kevin, you're into
I
that.
I am. I'm into that.
It's 1 pound of fresh, juicy apples, and it's put in a beer bottle.
Uh-huh.
But it's apple juice, so you could look cool.
You can disguise it. Yeah,
it's
like
you're drinking beer.
Like Amit could run around with this, drinking it. Like,
like he's drinking beer.
Serious? Yeah. It's like in a brown beer bottle. Uh-huh. But it... listen, when it's Elliot's amazing apple juice, what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a brown bottle. You know why this got started? Elliot started out. He's a self-made man. He had $10,000. Like you with the record company. You started your own record company.
Mm-hmm.
He had $10,000. He went to a beer distributor and asked him to make the bottle for Elliot's apple juice. And he said, I'm going to make a totally natural juice. And it just sprung up from there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
does that sound like
that's
a decent
not my
product?
Brother. That's not my kind of product.
No. No. Mm-mm. Why?
Well, there's nothing exciting about it for me.
No, but I'm just saying it's a good, wholesome product that you could get behind.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, I don't find it harmful in any way, but it, you know, it might be interesting
Frank,
to see what it tasted
Frank,
like rather than talking about the bottle.
Can you go along with this a little?
Okay.
You know, an apple a day.
Going along with
away?
The pro, I've got it.
This is a consumer economy. Frank.
Okay, all right, I got it.
Hey,
we're going to keep this stuff on the air.
Hey,
I know.
Hey, Ankfrey, the commercial K pays the Ills Bay on the Adial Ray.
Okay.
Ominism K, okay? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Sure.
Right. Elliot's amazing apple juice.
You know, I find it to be true.